This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
You know, Ryan, it's a sad reality that tragedy will somehow touch our lives. We can choose to let it consume us, or we can make lemonade from those lemons. In today's episode, we speak with one man who chose to serve others when tumultuous times hit, which led to life-altering results for him and for others. Ryan, please introduce our guest today.
Absolutely, Greg. Our guest today is distinguished Toastmaster David Jones. David's powerful story of service, serving others in wake of tragedy, how my experiences in Toastmasters and Rotary changed my life and others, is featured in the April 2021 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. David spent 45 years working in the IT field. Today, he supports his wife in her real estate business and enjoys spending time with their 15 grandkids. Joining us from Columbus, Ohio, distinguished Toastmaster David Jones, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Greg.
Now, David, we alluded to the tragedy that led you on the path of service in your life. And to start us off, I wonder, could you take us back to that moment that forever changed your life and tell us what it was that transpired? What happened?
August 7th of 2008, my wife and daughter were on a college visit to Anderson University. I lived in Columbus, Ohio. And at 6 o'clock that evening, I got a phone call from my daughter. She said there'd been an accident. I only got a few details before the EMTs arrived and took her phone away from her. I got to where my daughter was, Children's Hospital in downtown Columbus. She was okay. She had a long cut down one leg and really bad bruising. But afterwards, four people that were there took me into a little room next door and gave me the information that my wife, Judy, had been killed instantly in the accident. My life revolved around my wife. Between being with her, my children, my job, and spending countless hours at our church, that consumed my life. Next month, we would have celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary, and the following week in August was her birthday. I never got a chance to give her the present that I got. It was like I died too when I lost my wife. Everything, my identity and everything was consumed and wrapped up in her, and she was gone. I went from being the happiest man on the earth one day to picking out a funeral plot, a casket, writing an obituary, having to tell people that she was dead. I had to work with my children to help them through that period. We had four children. My oldest was Anne. I had identical twin sons, Michael and Jeffrey. They were 21. And my youngest daughter, Laura, who was actually driving at the time that the accident occurred. She was 17 years old and had her driver's license for 7 months. They were on a two-lane road, and the other driver passed out. Laura had a split second to decide what to do, and so she chose to try to avoid the other vehicle. And what she did would have worked, but the other vehicle went off the side of the road, hit a guardrail, bounced off, and the two cars collided head-on at 55 miles an hour each. A little less than a year later, the other driver pled guilty to two counts, including involuntary manslaughter. She was sentenced to 8.5 years in prison, but that didn't bring my wife back. Nothing would. My youngest daughter went off to college. My sons were finishing up college, and we went to graduation ceremonies for both of them. But all the special times that my wife would have been there to see those graduation ceremonies, she wasn't. My life had changed, and I was trying to figure out what to do next.
David, thank you for sharing that. And I know it's been a while, and our sincere condolences on on that. I need to ask you, with this, did you have some sort of epiphany, or was there some spark that motivated you to take this path of service? And I'm also wondering, how long did it take you between the time that this all occurred and the time you decided that I need to share the story, I need to share this message, I need to serve others?
Well, it's a little difficult to answer. I mean, I needed some time to think about things and heal. My wife was so close to God, I couldn't imagine her being a better spot to be taken and go up to heaven. She helped so many different people. She was just awesome in so many different ways and helped so many other people. And I just wanted to continue her legacy. And it took me a while to be ready for that, but also to find an organization that I could work through to do that. So the first place that I actually decided to talk at was at a local drug and alcohol rehabilitation center in Columbus called Mary Haven. I just thought that it was such a powerful story that I could use what happened to my wife to make a difference, talking to DUI drivers, which are the most likely to drive again under the influence. And if I could convince them not to drive when they shouldn't, that I would save lives. That was my goal. I can't do anything to change what's already happened. But I can use my wife's story to try to make a difference and prevent people from driving when they shouldn't. I primarily spoke to smaller audiences of somewhere between 20 and 45 people, two or three times a month. And through MAD at the beginning, there were over 200 people in a room that I'd share the story with. And that was done once a month. Over the years, between now and then, I estimate I've spoken to other 15,000 DUI drivers.
Wow.
When it works well, I feel like I've really done something to help save somebody's life. Nobody knows who it might have been. All you can do is try. And there's no way to know a negative. I mean, how do you know that I prevented somebody from doing something when they might have done something different and cost a life? So I'll never know what happened. All I can get is some feedback sometimes from people who I've run into afterwards who have heard me talk and let me know what a difference that I've made. That's all any of us can do. And I just felt that doing it, if I could save a life, that would have meant so much to my late wife, Judy.
Wow. Dave, with various people that you've come across after you're speaking to them, them being in an audience where you've shared the story, are there any individuals that stand out? Of course, I'm not asking you to share names, but anyone's particular story or feedback that they shared of how your story touched them?
Well, most of the time, it's people sharing right afterwards. When I finish talking, they come up that some of them are especially moved and want to tell me something. I've had several people tell me that they're never going to drink again. People say things all the time. And like, if you go to hear a motivational speaker, it makes a big difference right then. But 6 months from them, you may or may not remember anything. I did find one who actually came through to hear me a second time. And what was interesting, she said after the first time, she never drank again. The second time she was back there was for texting while she was driving.
Wow.
So it did make a difference there. And I have run into some other people who have said that it did make a difference to them. So hopefully I will have saved some lives during that period of time, which is my primary focus. Now, just to let you know, I did the speaking to DUI drivers for about a year and a half when somebody from Toastmasters came and did a presentation at my work. So wow. I decided to join Toastmasters to try to be as effective as I could at trying to tell the story to try to save lives. So that's where I became involved with Toastmasters.
I wonder, David, did anyone ever share with you from your audiences that as a result of hearing you speak and share your story, that they decided to share their story from the other side as the person who was driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol and decided to give that up?
Well, one of the things that's a little different too is because my wife being a pastor and I knew how she would have felt, I publicly forgave the person who caused the accident and killed my wife. Now, I did that after hearing a church service on forgiveness. And so in the second service, I publicly forgave the woman who killed my wife. Now, I didn't want to do anything to impact the legal proceedings. So after the legal proceedings were done and the other driver went to Marysville Women's Reformatory in near Columbus, I communicated with her with some letters, and I later on went and visited her there in prison.
Wow.
She wrote a very powerful letter to the people that I was talking to that I read when I do my presentations. She wished she had been killed that day instead of my wife, but that's not what happened. She basically didn't remember anything. She passed out while she was driving. She was had 500 nanograms of cocaine in her system at the time the accident occurred, as well as 0.132 in alcohol. It was close to a lethal combination. After she served the whole 8.5 years, she wrote me another letter about how that my communicating with her and telling her about my wife had changed her life. It led her to follow God, read the Bible, do a lot of things in while she was in prison, and that she had tried to share her story with other women who were there and intended to continue her story after she got out. Now, I don't do anything with her because one of the terms of her probation is for the next 5 years after she was released that she cannot have any contact with me.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious that being able to share your message and share your story to help make a difference in other people's lives is so important. And this is really hard for me because, David, I want to share with you that I lost my wife of 27 years just 7 weeks ago. She had advanced cancer, and there were some complications that happened, and unexpectedly she passed away, and it was actually on her birthday. And one of the things, about a week after, I was speaking to the oncologist, her oncologist, and I did say to him, I said, doctor, not now, but sometime down the road. He knew I was a Toastmaster. I said, sometime down the road, I said, I would be happy to talk to people and share a message and let them know how important it is to get tested and how important early detection actually is, because that can make a difference as to whether people live or they don't survive. I guess my question for you is, and I know as being a Toastmaster, I will be able to do it in the future, but what I'm asking you is, what advice would you give someone who is grieving? And of course, when they're grieving, they can't think of anything else, but what advice would you give them to either encourage them or show them how they could be able to share or ultimately share their story or their message that could potentially help save a life?
Well, one thing I'd state is, one thing that helps me is I feel that as long as I can remember all the little things about my wife, she's not truly gone. She's there. And by telling the story, it helps you think about all the little things you might want to share or tell about her, and helps keep that memory fresh. One of the things that I fear the most is forgetting all those little things about my wife, about Judy. And by sharing my story with others, it helps me to remember those, to keep them fresh, to not forget them. I still think about her every day. So that's would be primarily what I might suggest, is just think about those things, what you'd like to use, what you might like to share. And the fact that those help keep her memory going, and that you're doing it for her, and it gives her the ability to do something for her, even though she's not around. Does that help at all? I really feel for what you're going through.
Yes, it does. Thank you for that.
David, your journey of service didn't end with going out and sharing Judy's story. Eventually, you ended up joining the Rotarians. And there's a unique aspect of your story. You were a Toastmaster, and you were approaching your Distinguished Toastmaster designation and needed to choose your high-performance leadership project. And you did that in a way that bridged Toastmasters to the Rotary Club. I wonder if you could bring us into that part of your story, how that came together and what the project was that you then entered into.
Everything in the world is connected. At least that's my personal opinion. And if you think it's not connected, it's only because you don't know the right questions to ask to see how they are connected. I joined Rotary about a year after I joined Toastmasters. And that's because I was attracted to the surface above self. And I had always done things through my church or Boy Scouts or other kind of things, doing volunteer activities over a long period of time. But I really was attracted to Rotary's message. And I had a great club that I joined with a fine group of people. Now at my, how I say everything's connected, but you don't see how they are. So at my church, I had been doing puppets for little, for third and 3 and 4 year old kids. And one of the people that I did puppets with the most is a woman named Linda McKenna. And you have to be quiet, sit behind a curtain for a long time so the kids don't see you. And so we had a little time over the years to talk. And I found out her story, and that she used to go for the last dozen years, once or twice a year, to Uganda, to this little village, and where she had been working and trying to get children sponsored so they could go to school and have food to eat. And I heard her presentation at my Rotary Club, which I arranged, about the need for water in this village where she was. At the same time, I heard a different project sponsored from Design Outreach locally, who creates these special water pumps that are designed basically to work without ever failing. And I decided it would make a great high-performance leader project for Toastmasters to try to put these different things together and put a well into this village. Part of the project is to find out more about how everything works, the preparation, the planning. So I had to ask a lot of questions and use Linda, and I spent a lot of time talking with Reverend Abraham, who's our main contact in the village in of Nambassa in Uganda. And I got a better understanding of what the issue was, what the problems were. And I talked with Dr. Greg Bixler, who is the designer for the pump for Design Outreach. And he suggested that his pump probably wasn't the best solution to the problem because of the limited number of people it was designed to serve. And I had a lot more people that I was trying to provide water for. So I went back to the drawing board. I did a lot of research on the internet, and I ended up doing some Skype calls with different people over in Africa, finding out what they had done and what they suggested. And I also talked with an old friend of mine from Rotary and as well as Boy Scouts, who gave me advice and suggested I should try to do a global grant project. So the project ended up growing. I wanted to give it some bounds. And so I did work with it. What I ended up coming up with a $110,000 project to put in 4 solar-powered water pumps in this village. And it would feed things into each pump into 2 5,000-liter storage containers that then water could come out as needed. Solar pumps will only provide electricity while the sun is shining. They're very close to the equator, so that's 12 hours a day. And each of them should be able to provide about 10,000 liters a day, feeding into 2 5,000-liter tanks. I also decided to put in, after I actually visited the village in Nambassa, I went there for 2 weeks with my friend Linda on her annual trip, as well as with a woman named Sally Gray. And it was just an amazing place. And my heart went out to the people there. But despite their situation, I was amazed by how joyful they were and how well they got along together as a group of people and just really praised the Lord and enjoyed life. I figured out the details for the project, where we're going to put in all these wells. I got to meet the gentleman in charge of the local Rotary Club there. His name is Bonnie Mark. And he later on attended a lot of our Rotary sessions back in Columbus once we started doing them via Zoom. I knew the project was going to take a while, and it actually is coming closer to fruition now. The project is still ongoing. I decided to cap the Toastmaster HPL piece at doing the submission of it for the global grant, but it's getting very close to being approved. I think the final things that we have to do is get all the bank details ironed out, and so hopefully in the next 3 or 4 months, we'll actually have those wells put in and the latrines put in, the toilets. And this will all actually come to fruition in the very near future. The goal of doing that is to save lives. And it leads back to my first wife, Judy, and the fact that she's a children's ministry director, and I'm doing this for children. I figure by doing this, I should save somewhere between, 10 to 12 lives a year, primarily through disease prevention. but also we're going to save a lot of time of people that right now have to spend during the dry season, have to spend all day at these pumps waiting for some water, having clean, fresh water that isn't going to make you sick is a big deal. They wait all day to fill up 1 or 2 5-gallon containers of water, 20 liters. And being able to do that is a really big thing to the people in this village.
That's just so beautiful, hearing this story unfold and hearing about these resources that you have brought and will bring to Uganda that are a continuation of Judy's legacy and of your service that, as the whole topic of this discussion surrounds upon, that arose out of this tragic event.
What's also interesting is the fact that bringing Toastmasters into it as well is that I conducted a speechcraft workshop at the village for a lot of the local leaders, 15 of them, as well as the leadership workshop. So I did both of those things. And that seemed to mean a lot to them and provided real benefits. So I'm using Toastmasters to actually deliver help to someone as part of a ministry effort over in Uganda. But so I really am bringing Toastmasters and Rotary together.
Wow.
And I feel that Toastmasters can help train Rotarians to do a better job within their Rotary Club. But also I'd like to convince Toastmasters to join Rotary Clubs to try to provide service and do things for others. And I just think both organizations are a great fit together.
Of course, now there's an official link between the two organizations.
Exactly. I was there, when they announced that at the Rotary Convention in Hamburg in 2019. And that was just an amazing moment for me. I was there in the front row. I was so excited to see that. Actually, in 2 weeks from now, I'll be doing a workshop at my D40 Toastmaster Conference, where I'm going to be talking about the Toastmaster Rotary Alliance. And there I'm going to get Toastmasters to understand what's going on and to try to seek out the Rotary Clubs and try to see if they can do a presentation locally there, or maybe get some of the Rotarians to join their club, their Toastmaster Club, and see what it's like and how to maybe acquire some new members that way. So I see it being a lot of benefits for both organizations.
Well, David, this is just been so enlightening. And Ryan, of course, thank you for taking the microphone while I sort of got my thoughts together here.
Of course.
I want to thank you for sharing what you shared today. And again, we don't necessarily get too personal on the podcast because we usually make it about the guests, but I took everything that you said to heart. And I now feel that what I'm planning on doing is certainly the right thing. Of course, I'm going to have to wait for the right time. I want to thank you for sharing your story. Of course, everyone, you can read the article in the April 2021 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Before we go, David, if you please, could you let folks know how they can get a hold of you or how they can find you?
Sure. My email address is dj.cmh@att.net. So that's DJ for Dave Jones and the dot the airport code for Columbus, Ohio, cmh@att.net. I do have a website. I'm still working on it. I did it for one of my Toastmaster projects, and it's called jonesohio.com. So you can see a little bit about there, see some pictures of my trip to Uganda, and I'll try to update it, put out a little bit more about what's going on with the project and about the Toastmaster Rotary Alliance.
David Jones, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor. And once again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it, Greg and Ryan.
Thank you, David.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com. And let us know how we can help you.